No matter what you've heard, if you like your doctor or healthcare plan, you can keep it.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Holy cow. We start the day with possibly the biggest lies told in the last decade. Oh, hi there. Welcome to the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and a bit of absurdity. Hoping you're having a wonderful Thursday. It is the Thursday edition of the podcast, February 13th, 2020. And we've had so much rain here that my fingers and toes are starting to prune. I'm telling you, it's just crazy. It is so wet here. It just doesn't stop. It rained all day yesterday for the most part, and it rained last night. We were supposed to get some nasty weather last night. We weren't awakened by anything noisy last night, so hopefully nobody got any damage. I haven't actually had an opportunity to check, but it has just been a crazy few days here. Lots and lots of rain. In our area, just so you can get an idea, we're already 10 inches of rain over the norm for this time of year. So it is wet. I'm talking monsoon wet here. It's just... I checked yesterday and the dog is getting moldy. It's wet. Okay. It's just the way it is. It is, like I said, it's the Thursday edition of the podcast. We've got a day until the weekend hits, and, I know you're looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the weekend because honestly, if you're like me and you're sort of a news junkie, the insanity is kind of getting to you. Last week was a great week. With everything that happened. And this week, of course, we should have seen this coming. The Democrats are fighting back. They're deciding to go on the attack again. And what do you do? I mean, this is what they have chosen to do with their time. For my Democrat friends, is this what you elected these people to do? Seriously? Is this what you elected these people to do? To spend all of their time on the job you hired them to do, because you're their employer. Remember that. And spending the money that they are taking from you, taking out of your paycheck and taking out of, wow, practically anything that sends you any kind of money nowadays, they're taking a part of it. And if you don't pay it, they'll put you in jail. So essentially they are by force taking money from you for their salaries. These people, is this what you want them to do with your time and your money? You want them to keep pursuing some way to destroy the president who is actually improving the state of life in this country? Is that really what you want them to be doing? That's what they're doing. And it's really screwy. What can I say? It's just really screwy. These people are focused on destroying a president. And they are intent on distracting everyone from the good that's being done by this president. I mean, this guy came into office having made promises. And since the day he was elected, he's been fighting the idiots who are trying to keep him from succeeding. And in spite of all of that, he has been succeeding. And all the left can do is say, yeah, but. Yeah, but. He promised to do A, B, and C. He's doing A, B, and C. Yeah, but.
Oh, yeah, well, he's a morally corrupt man.
Oh, really? Have you looked at John Kennedy? Have you looked at a number of people that you have held high and praised and practically worshipped over the years? Take a good look at Teddy Kennedy. Take a good look at these people. Take a really good look at their personal lives and what they became known for behind closed doors with whispers and laughter in Washington, D.C. Take a look at those people and then get back to me about morality.
Oh, but... All of you evangelical Christians, you shouldn't be supporting this man because he's wow, that's a real Christian for you, doing all those things, being divorced, cheating on wives and all that.
You clearly don't understand Christianity. clearly. If you did, you would understand that the past has little to do with the present if you are moving forward and have been forgiven. Yeah, you do have to live with what you've done. There are repercussions. But you learn lessons, you grow, and you move forward. Besides, none of us were electing a pope, a priest, a pastor. We were electing a street fighter who could go to Washington, D.C. and deal with the corruption there. And that's what he's doing. And of course, like that employee who's been slacking on the job for years, when a new employee arrives and is actually doing the work, the people in D.C. are not happy with what's happening in Washington, D.C. because Donald Trump is making them look bad. Bless their hearts. But I digress. I hope you're doing well today. Thank you so much for listening, wherever you may be listening. If you've dropped in on Facebook Live, thanks for being there. If you are not on Facebook Live, but you're listening via the podcast, hey, thanks a lot for being there. I do appreciate the fact that you are on the podcast, that you're listening, that you've chosen to jump in on that. And there are places to do that. I don't tell you often enough. You can find this podcast on Apple Podcasts, on Google Podcasts. It's in it's on Spotify. You can also, if you have the iHeartRadio app, and a lot of people do because they have iHeartRadio stations they enjoy listening to, and even when they're out of range, they like listening to the programming, you can find this on the iHeartRadio app. And a lot of people also use TuneIn Radio to listen to radio stations from their hometowns when they're on the road. Well, this podcast is also on TuneIn Radio. You can find it in all five of those places. You can also go and subscribe by going to the podcast's home page, and that is dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Yeah, it's a long name, but you'd be surprised what's taken, which you just can't get. I tried Daily Perspective. I tried various versions. dailyperspectivepodcast.com. You can go there, and the current version of the podcast, the current day's podcast, or the latest one, is always right up there at the top, along with the show notes. By the way, I don't talk show notes enough. I mention them from time to time, but everything that I talk about during this hour podcast, all of those stories, I give you the links to those stories. Plus, often I will have little asterisked notes below the links to remind me to mention some aspect as I've read through the story. And, you know, I'll say, oh yeah, remember to mention this. I'll jot it down, and you get all of that as well. So you get my show notes every day. It's all right there at dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Anyway, those are the ways to get the podcast. And thank you so much for being there. And I just mentioned that because there are those who just jump in and listen, or possibly they see it pop up on Facebook because Facebook repeats it during the day. They save the video, and it's not a video podcast. I do throw a slide up, and it's just me talking. Like for example, today, right now, it's Lady Liberty. She's up on the screen with the name of the podcast in front of her. I'm not blocking your face. And if you look closely, you'll see something interesting in her ears. But that is up on Facebook after the podcast completes. Facebook pops it up, and you may see it pop up there. And some people, that's how they listen to the podcast. But you can subscribe and have it sent to your mobile device, your desktop, whatever. However you prefer to listen to podcasts. So get that done today if you haven't, okay? But you're still here, go do it. All right, let's get back to the things that we need to talk about today. A lot of stuff in the stack today. Of course, as I mentioned, the Democrats have decided once again in their focus, what they think is good for America in destroying the president and destroying the votes of millions upon millions of people who chose this president, and knowing that they can't win the next election because this president is succeeding, and the only way to destroy his chances in the next election, the only way they can do that is to destroy him. At least that's what they think. It's backfiring. Every time they try, his approval rating goes up. You would think they would learn, but no, they don't. There's so much of that to talk about today. Devin Nunes, is going to check in. Hopefully I've got time to get to him checking in about what we're finding out about what the Mueller team was up to. Ah, it's dirty stuff. There's Pelosi and Schumer are calling for an investigation of Trump after a recent DOJ announcement. William Barr is going to testify before the House Judiciary. Another clown has fallen out of the car on the Democrat campaign. And hopefully I can get to the five times Barack Obama actually protected his allies from justice. And the Democrats just didn't care. They just didn't care. I hope we have time to get to that. But first, the Just Facts Daily question of the day, I think, is an interesting one, because right now we're watching something happen in Virginia. The state of Virginia, having been the government of the state of Virginia, having been taken over by progressives, is showing us exactly what the progressives would do on a national scale if they were ever allowed to get control of the government again. If, for example, if the House, the Senate, and the Oval Office were all controlled by progressives, life in this country would begin to look like what it looks like in Virginia. And right now in Virginia, they're going after gun owners. They are making it known that they are going to do everything they can to restrict the constitutional rights, the protected rights of gun owners in Virginia. In other words, the Constitution means nothing to the government of the state of Virginia. The only thing important to them is what their wisdom tells them is important. And progressive wisdom is an oxymoron. Here's your question of the day. What portion of the people who fail federal background checks for firearm purchases are prosecuted by the federal government for attempting to illegally buy a gun? This is an important question, because we're being told we need to have universal background checks. You've heard that, right? Oh, universal background checks. That's a good thing. We should be doing that for every purchase. If you want to sell your deer rifle to your neighbor Sam, under the legislation being proposed by the left, then you would have to get Sam to fill out a form or to go with you to a gun store, a licensed gun store dealer, and fill out an FBI background check before you could privately sell your deer rifle to Sam. You've known Sam for as long as you've lived there. You guys go to football games together. Your kids go to the same school. You have barbecues together. You and Sam and your families know each other like family. But if you're going to sell Sam your deer rifle or one of your handguns or a shotgun or any kind of firearm, under this legislation proposed, this universal background check legislation that they'd like to see passed, anything you sell to him as a firearm, you'd have to take him to the local gun shop and have him fill out a background check and pass it before you could legally transfer ownership of that to him. They would also go so far as to make that necessary if it's a gift. And some of the versions of the legislation would go that far even for loaning someone your deer rifle. They're going on a hunt. They want to try this deer rifle. They're thinking about buying it. If you loaned it to them, you would have to take them to the gun store and have them go through a background check. Because if the game warden stops by, says, "How you guys doing? You seen anything? Having any luck?" That sort of thing. "Let me look at your paperwork on your firearms." If they don't have the right paperwork, they're in trouble. This is how severe this is going to be, the government incursion into your rights. What portion of the people who fail federal background checks for firearm purchases are prosecuted by the federal government for attempting to illegally buy a gun? Less than 1%. Less than 1%. During 2017, the federal government conducted 8.6 million firearm background checks, resulting in over 112,000 denials. They prosecuted 12 people. 12 people out of 112,000. They got 8 guilty pleas. Less than one-tenth of 1%. The end result. Less than 1/10 of 1%. So, when they're talking about putting new laws into effect to protect Americans, remember, the laws in effect now aren't working. And the people who would obey those laws aren't the people causing the problems. It's the people who would never obey the law in the first place that are causing the problems. But politicians are empowered by convincing you that they are the hero and can solve the problem. So their solution? More laws, more paperwork, and more inconvenience for law-abiding citizens. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host, and the pilot for this weird little cruise ship sailing the waters of life in America today. Did you hear that Ford has created the emoji jacket? Yeah. The Ford Motor Company, yes, a jacket. Well, communications between drivers and cyclists can be difficult. Riders having to remove their hands from the handlebars to indicate changes in direction or to say, hey, thanks, you know, for letting me break through, that kind of a thing. Over in the EU, the Commission's Traffic Safety Basic Facts says that around 2,000 cyclists on Europe's roads are killed each year. Now, Ford has commissioned a prototype emoji jacket, which it says is a one-of-a-kind creation, part of Ford's Share the Road campaign. The emoji jacket's been designed to show how tensions could be eased by enabling riders to more easily and more clearly show drivers what their intentions are and how they're feeling. The jacket has a big LED mesh panel on the back. So if you're riding behind somebody wearing one of these jackets, their entire back is basically a sign. And it has three emojis. It has a smile. It has that, you know, straight line, whatever, and a frown emoji. It also has arrows right and left to indicate, hey, I'm about to go left, I'm about to go right, and a hazard signal. The cyclist activates each emoji, indicators, and the hazard sign using a wireless remote that's mounted on the handlebars of the bike. It's actually got the little remote has a set of buttons on it. So it's right there by the bike rider's hand. You've got a left, a right, the hazard button, and the three emojis. There's a button for each one of them. So if you're gonna hang a Louie, you hit the left arrow and your entire back says, hey, I'm turning left. Then again, let's see. Well, Ford says the jacket's not available to buy right now. Their representative says, we're now living and driving in a world where communications is crucial, but all too often between drivers and cyclists. This just comes down to the beeping of a horn or a rude gesture. Cyclists usually have to take a hand off the handlebars to communicate. The emoji jacket uses a universally understood means of communication to show one way in which tensions could be eased. And we all learn to share the road. Clearly, this man has never been in a major marketplace where people are actually driving. I mean, every day, every time I'm out, when I leave the solitude of the studio and head out to do things out amongst the real world and the public in general, I am amazed by the number of people who have no idea that their vehicle came equipped with indicator lights. They don't understand what that little stalk on the steering column does. Maybe, you use the end of it to turn your headlights on and off. Well, that's great. Okay. But if you move it up, it tells everybody behind you and ahead of you, you're about to turn right or move over to another lane. If you move it down, it tells people you're going the opposite direction. It's not just a courtesy, it's actually the law. But you'd be amazed how many people just don't communicate. They don't tell anybody else, hey, this is what I'm doing. And as a result, people are diving on their brakes. They're doing all kinds of stuff to get out of the way. And those people who don't use their turn indicators are causing accidents every single day. And I say this not because I'm an old man and I'm tired of all the tomfoolery. It's because there are so many people today who live in their own little world, and life around them is made more dangerous because they have no concept that they could possibly be inconveniencing anyone else or causing trouble anywhere. Case in point, how many times have you sat at a traffic light behind someone, not directly, you could be further back in the lane, but still behind someone who sits there for many seconds after the light changes green and people are blowing their horns and the person up at the front is oblivious, or the person ahead of you is oblivious to the fact that things are moving because their brain has been sucked into their cell phone? How many times have you seen that happen? I dare say you've seen it many times. I know I have. And I don't commute to a place of business every day to go to work. My studio is in my home, so I'm not out there all the time. But almost every time I get on the road, there is someone ahead of me who is oblivious to the world around them because they're sucked into their cell phone, sitting at the wheel with their head down. I also see them on the interstate driving 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. Yes. Looking at their cell phones, texting people, reading posts on Twitter. We have serious problems in traffic. That jacket ain't going to make a difference. Trust me, it's just not going to make a difference. Oh, well. Speaking of traffic, the clown car is a little lighter now. The Democrats have lost another. Former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick ended his long-shot White House bid yesterday, a day after a dismal showing in the New Hampshire presidential primary. He said in a statement, "The vote in New Hampshire last night was not enough for us to create the practical wind at the campaign's back to go on to the next round of voting, so I've decided to suspend the campaign effective immediately." Even though he was relatively well-known in New Hampshire as the two-term governor from a neighboring state, and he heavily campaigned in the first-in-the-nation primary state since declaring his candidacy in mid-November, Patrick grabbed less than 1% of the vote, according to the latest results. His departure means there are no longer any other African-Americans in the race. Can I just stop here for a moment? He campaigned heavily. He campaigned heavily in New Hampshire. Since mid-November, he focused on New Hampshire. Since mid-November, that's where he's put all of his work since mid-November. And he still got less than 1% of the vote. Ouch! The former governor mulled launching a presidential campaign in 2018, assembling a team of advisors and enjoying the backing of some of former President Barack Obama's top political aides. But at the end of 2018, Patrick announced he wouldn't run, pointing to the cruelty of our elections process. Yeah, he was a victim, of course, as well as his wife's diagnosis with uterine cancer. Excuse me, Mr. Patrick? Option B there would have been option A in every normal thinking American's mind. If your wife has been diagnosed with uterine cancer and you're thinking about running for the office of president, decent people, that's the only way I can put it, decent people would say, no, I can't. I cannot run for president. My wife has cancer. I'm walking through this battle with her. And no other condition would have mattered or been mentioned. Nothing else. That's what decent people would do, sir. Decent people. But 11 months later, after his wife was cancer-free, he launched his campaign late in the 2020 cycle. Patrick repeatedly pushed back against the media narrative that he declared his candidacy for the White House too late to successfully compete. In his announcement that he was dropping out, Patrick emphasized that, quote, "many in the media have noted that I entered the race late, As a direct and limiting consequence, I've met many people on the campaign trail who lament how they wished I had entered the race sooner. As I hope you know, I entered this race when I could, and not a moment before I should have. He stressed that, quote, we cannot keep mistaking media narratives for political outcomes. Political outcomes are entirely up to voters. As a reminder, Patrick served as U.S. Assistant Attorney General for the Civil Rights Division from 1994 to 97 under Clinton. He was elected governor of Massachusetts in 2006, re-elected in 2010, the first black governor in the Commonwealth's history. And after leaving office in 2015, he took a job with Bain Capital. That name's familiar. You know why? It's the Boston-based private investment firm that became a liability to Mitt Romney, who, by the way, was Patrick's predecessor as governor of Massachusetts took the job during the 2012 Romney campaign. So, many in the media noted he had entered the race late. And as a limiting consequence, he couldn't succeed. I don't know. If he's focused 100% of his attention since last November on one state and only and didn't even get 1% of the vote there, I don't think being late to the party was the reason. I don't think being late to the party was the reason he couldn't get the vote. I think because the people said, who? Deval who? Oh, that guy. Nah. I don't think so.
What are you, turning into some kind of feminist?
Well, no, but now I'm curious why you ask. Welcome back. It's the Daily Perspective, the Thursday edition of the podcast. Mark Congleton here with you. Hopefully you're having a big old Thursday. Looking through social media during the break, as I always do. And I'm reminded that the other podcast that I produce, Dawson Now, dropped last night. The current edition is with a friend of mine, a guy named Brian Burns, who runs a fitness podcast. It's not a health club, so to speak. It's a personal training facility where his trainers work with you one-on-one to get in better shape, stay in shape, you know, that kind of thing, to help you with your health. And I'm building Brian's website and we're working back and forth with each other and he's helping me work out and get back in shape after the last year or so the past few years of not being able to do much because my knees were in bad shape. And I don't want to get into a big medical history thing, but I had a bad time with arthritis in both my knees. I've had both of my knees totally replaced, and now I'm on the way back. I'm 7 months out from the second surgery, a year and a half out from the first surgery, and my stamina is getting better. My strength is coming back. I'm feeling better. And yesterday I started work and Brian gave me an assignment to go get on the elliptical and to get on the rower. And I got the rower done, but my elliptical's on the fritz and I haven't been able to figure out how to fix it. So anyway, I was supposed to go to his facility yesterday, but our schedules didn't jive anyhow. But Brian is not just a fitness guy. He's a fitness guy with an interesting relationship, and that relationship was with NFL legend Bart Starr. And if you're an NFL fan and you were ever a fan of the legendary Bart Starr, then you want to listen to this particular podcast. You really do. It's called Dawson Now. It dropped last night. It's available now wherever podcasts are sold, so to speak. Same place my podcast is. So if you're going to any of those five places, you'll find Dawson Now. Just look it up, Dawson Now, and listen to that that chat with Brian about fitness and his relationship with the legendary Bart Starr. A very interesting program. Very interesting. Well, back to the silliness of politics. Attorney General William Barr has accepted an invitation to testify on the 30th of March before the House Judiciary Committee. That's according to a letter sent yesterday. Quote, since President Trump took office, we have repeatedly warned you and your predecessors. This is the letter they sent to him. We've repeatedly warned you and your predecessors that the misuse of our criminal justice system for political purposes is both dangerous to our democracy and unacceptable to the House Judiciary Committee. That's what the House Judiciary letter actually said. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that to be pretty interesting. It's ironic that they talk about the misuse of the criminal justice system when the Obama administration misused the criminal justice system as easily as breathing. They victimized people on an almost constant basis. They used the criminal justice system against the press. They used the criminal justice system against faith-based organizations. They used the criminal justice system against people who opposed them politically. And of course the Democrats, being the criminals that they are, said nothing about that. Nothing. Well, the request to testify was made to address a, quote, pattern of conduct in legal matters relating to the president that raise significant concerns, including the removal of former U.S. Attorney for Washington, D.C., Jesse Liu, who led the prosecutions of Trump associates Roger Stone, Michael Flynn, and Paul Manafort. In case you're not familiar, she was a never-Trumper who was in the justice system, who had serious biases, and had no place being involved in the processes. Second, Rudy Giuliani's sending the Justice Department information about the Bidens in Ukraine. That also falls under the purview of the Justice Department, as directed by the president. Nothing Rudy has done has been outside of the law. And number three, the decision to overrule prosecutors on the lengthy Senate's recommendation in the Stone case. The president and William Barr, Barr overruled prosecutors because the prosecutors sentenced a man guilty of process crimes. I'll explain that in a moment in case you're not aware what that is. Of a sentence to 7 to 9 years. If you lose your cookies and beat a woman up in public, you beat her to a pulp in public in front of God and everybody and video cameras, you won't get 7 to 9 years. If you commit a crime with a gun, you're probably not going to get 7 to 9 years. Stone got 7 to 9 years because the justice officials involved were corrupt. And they were looking for ways to destroy him as they sought to destroy Trump. His sentence was harsh for process crimes. They accused him of lying to Congress. Lying to Congress consisted of not remembering the exact words in the documents that he provided for them when describing things that happened, and not phrasing things the same way. Misremembering dates, times, things like that. And that's what they convicted him for. You remember, the FBI showed up at his house at the crack of dawn with a CNN camera crew in tow. This is that guy. They were seeking to make an example of him and to send a message. And every bit of it was motivated by corruption from the deep state. The letter concludes, these are not the only issues that our committee intends to discuss with you when you appear, but they are enough to require our immediate attention. We look forward to your testimony. These people, the Democrats in the House, are so deeply, deeply entrenched in their desire to destroy this president that they will, I think, literally try anything to get to him. They understand that their little lapdogs in the progressive press will just yip happily and do whatever they're told to do and tell the story however they're told to tell the story. So they put forward accusations and implications that can't be supported in the real world because they know they'll hit the press will make a big deal out of them, and a lot of gullible people who don't dig beyond the news stories will think that there's something really going on there. This is just how they operate, and it's how they've always operated, and those who've been paying attention understand that's the way they operate. So once again, the House is going on another wild goose chase. They're about to set up another kangaroo court, and they're about to waste a lot of taxpayer time and money just because they lost an election in 2016, and they know they can't win the election in November of this year because they have no one who can defeat Trump. They can't win by playing honestly. They can't play the game honestly and win, so they're looking for other ways. And this is just the latest. It is really a bizarre situation. Now, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer want President Trump investigated again. Again. After more than 3 years of investigations, including an impeachment investigation and trial, and they want him investigated for a tweet he sent about his attorney general. The president said in a series of tweets, "This is a horrible and very unfair situation. The real crimes were on the other side, as nothing happens to them. Cannot allow this miscarriage of justice. Congratulations to Attorney General Bill Barr for taking charge of a case that was totally out of control and perhaps should not have even been brought," he said in this tweet. "Evidence now clearly shows that the Mueller scam was improperly brought and tainted. Even Bob Mueller lied to Congress." That tweet came after the Justice Department overrode a sentencing hearing recommendation for Roger Stone. Remember that. It came after the Justice Department overrode that sentencing recommendation. As a result, the Washington Post reports, all four career prosecutors handling the case against Roger Stone withdrew from the legal proceedings Tuesday, and one quit his job entirely. Trump adds in another tweet, "Who are the four prosecutors? Mueller people? Who cut and ran after being exposed for recommending a ridiculous 9-year prison sentence to a man that got caught up in an investigation that was illegal, the Mueller scam, and should never have started? 13 angry Democrats?" Pelosi responded to Trump's tweets, calling him guilty of political interference in Stone's sentencing. She tweeted, "By tweet, Donald Trump engaged in political interference in the sentencing of Roger Stone. It is outrageous that DOJ has deeply damaged the rule of law by withdrawing its recommendation. Stepping down a prosecutor should be commended, and actions of DOJ should be investigated." Schumer had similar comments. Well, the bottom line is, the president commented after the fact, they're desperate, and they're worried, and they're doing everything they can to undermine the next election. We shouldn't be surprised. At this point, we should just be pointing at everything they say and everything they do, and letting our friends and neighbors know they're lying again because they're scared and they're desperate. Because Trump is still winning.
And Remember, if you'd like to learn one of life's most valuable secrets, just send $20 to The Announcer in care of this station. And by return mail, you'll receive your very own copy of the exciting 1.5-page book entitled Why You Should Never Send Some Guy $20 Just Because He Asks You To Over the Radio.
Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Good to have you along today. It's the Thursday edition of the podcast. The weekend is so close, you can smell it from here. Unless it's been raining nonstop in your area like it has been in mine, then all you smell is wet ground, wet leaves, wet, wet. That's all you can smell. I mentioned earlier there was a story I wanted to get to, and I'm going to try to get into all of it here, but time constraints being what they are, let's dive in and see if we can get all the way through the five times Barack Obama protected his allies from justice, and the Democrats did not care. It was expected that Democrats would be up in arms over the news that the Justice Department retracted and rewrote Roger Stone's sentencing recommendation memo. But once again, I find myself astonished by the rank hypocrisy of Democrats. This is by Matt Margolis on PJ Media, by the way. But before I get into that, I think it's worth mentioning that the prosecution of Stone, and quite frankly, the sentencing, was excessive. The prosecutors, many of whom were part of the Russian collusion hoax investigation team of Mueller, literally ordered a pre-dawn raid on Stone's home in Florida, complete with a CNN detail ready to cover the event for the country to watch as it unfolded. The recommendations for sentencing were completely absurd. Violent criminals, including rapists, get less time than what they were recommending for Stone. In due time, I am sure, that will become clear. But once again, I feel compelled to bring to light that the Democrats' outrage over this is just the latest example of their hypocrisy. Because for 8 years under Barack Obama, we saw actual corrupt manipulation of the justice system in favor of Barack Obama's allies. Under Obama and his radical attorneys general, Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch, the Justice Department became a hotbed of political favoritism, pretty much from day one. I have picked five examples of Obama's allies being protected from justice in various ways by his administration that Democrats didn't give a hoot about. And when you read them, you'll understand why. Number five, the new Black Panther Party. You may remember images and video from Election Day 2008 with members of the new Black Panther Party standing outside a Philadelphia polling place wearing military garb, making racial remarks, and discouraging people from voting. A voter intimidation case against the new Black Panthers began weeks before Obama took office. It was an open and shut case, and the new Black Panthers didn't even show up in court to defend themselves, assuring the government's victory in the case. Then, in May 2009, the case was inexplicably dropped by Attorney General Eric Holder. By the summer of 2010, the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights declared there was evidence of possible unequal administration of justice by the Justice Department in the new Black Panther Party case. It was quite clear that under Obama and Holder, civil rights cases against minorities discriminating against whites were being systematically ignored. Holder still denied there was a racial motivation during a House Appropriations Subcommittee hearing in March of 2011, justifying the decision not to prosecute the new Black Panther Party by bizarrely citing the roadblocks African Americans endured when trying to vote in the South during the era of Jim Crow laws. Well, it's all about racism! Oh, I'm sorry, I should have done that effectively. Racism! Number four, Attorney General Eric Holder. Attorney General Eric Holder took part in a scandalous, incompetent gun-running project known as Fast and Furious from 2009 to 2011 and did everything in his power to protect his boss, Barack Obama, during that investigation. In return for his steadfast loyalty, Obama protected Holder, who was aggressively stonewalling the House Oversight and Government Affairs Committee investigation into Fast and Furious. Obama's asserting of executive privilege was not only to protect himself, but also to protect Holder ahead of the Oversight Committee's vote to declare Holder in contempt of Congress for withholding documents from the committee. Ultimately, it didn't save Holder from being held in contempt of Congress by a bipartisan vote. Number 3. Senator Robert Menendez. In 2012, just days before the November election, ICE agents were ready to arrest an illegal immigrant and registered sex offender, but were ordered by the Department of Homeland Security to wait until after the election. Why? The suspect was a volunteer intern for Senator Robert Menendez, Democrat from New Jersey. And there would be significant interest from Congress and news organizations about the arrest. Menendez was seen as vulnerable in the 2012 election, and the delay of the arrest saved him from a potentially politically damaging scandal on the eve of voting, all the while letting a sexual offender avoid justice for 6 weeks. They let a sexual offender avoid justice in order to get a Democrat senator re-elected. Let that sink in. Number 2. Sexual predator Kevin Johnson. In 2009, Barack Obama illegally fired Gerald Wolpin, the Inspector General for the Corporation for National and Community Service. Wolpin's only crime was that he was investigating Obama's friend and donor, Kevin Johnson. Johnson had misused federal grant money for AmeriCorps by funneling it to his personal nonprofit group, paying for political activity, and using it to pay hush money to underage girls he had sexually abused. When Wolpin recommended charges against Johnson, Obama, in violation of federal law, fired him. An investigation by Congress into the illegal firing was met with stonewalling by the Obama White House and the withholding of documents. The Obama White House also deliberately misled Congress about the reasons for firing. And finally, number 1. It's hard to think of anyone who has managed to avoid accountability more than Hillary Clinton. And her response to the Stone sentencing story was her latest example of a lack of self-awareness. She tweeted, "On the same day, two prosecutors have resigned from the DOJ to protest the administration's intervention to lighten the sentence of one of Trump's accomplices. And the Senate GOP blocked votes on 3 bills to secure our elections. The rule of law and our democracy are in crisis." So tweets Hillary Clinton. It was not all that long ago that Hillary Clinton was the heir apparent to Barack Obama, and Obama wasn't going to let her criminal behavior get in the way of her winning the election and keeping his legacy intact. Thanks to Attorney General Loretta Lynch and the FBI Director James Comey, Hillary was never going to be punished for her legal or illegal private server and mishandling of classified and top secret information that would have seen anyone else indicted. In fact, FBI Director James Comey had drafted her exoneration letter before Hillary had even been interviewed by the FBI. And through the entire process, Barack Obama wanted to be kept in the loop, according to text messages between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok. Hillary Clinton benefited from Barack Obama and his Justice Department doing everything they could to protect her. And she has the nerve to criticize the Trump administration for reducing the excessive sentencing of Roger Stone? Seriously? Remember, Hillary Clinton had her own private email server. I know a little bit about this because I actually have the same kind of computer sitting right by my left elbow right now. The same kind of computer she used as an email server. I have another one in my family room that is being used as a media server for banking old TV shows and movies and such. I'm familiar with the computers. I'm familiar with how they work as servers. And I'm familiar with how to set the email functions up for those servers and how they are used. And I know that unless you take extraordinary steps, they're not secure. For an average office, if you want to set up your own private family email, you're not going to be doing anything sensitive. That's fine. No foreign government is going to be peering through your emails to find out government secrets. But they were going through Hillary Clinton's emails to find out government secrets. And so, her email server, her little Mac Mini, was subpoenaed. They told her, bring it in. Bring the stuff in. We still don't know where it is. We still haven't had a chance to actually investigate thoroughly. Her emails, at least the ones she didn't delete, have been handed to us. They've gone through and decrypted a lot of things that were they attempted to delete. What most people don't understand is that when you delete something from a hard drive, it's not really gone. You have to use extreme measures, which is where the whole BleachBit thing came from. BleachBit is a piece of software that is used to do a low-level scrub of a hard drive in order to eliminate what was stored on it. But even when using BleachBit, there's enough data left to reconstruct things if you have the right tools. It takes time. It takes a lot of computer crunching power. But your tax dollars have paid for that. And so it's available. Hillary Clinton, of all people, actually should be in prison for what she did. Just for that. For endangering the security of this nation. And today she's pointing fingers at others who are correcting the criminal wrongdoing of a corrupt Justice Department from the Obama administration. And they do this kind of thing because they know the average person isn't aware of how things really work. They just know what they see and hear on the evening news or in the headlines on CNN or what their friends tell them on social media. Which is why you should always dig deeper. Well, that's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll be back for the Friday edition tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.